Testing. Trusting. 1, 2. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Everyone, please open your Bibles. Nowhere in particular, just open your Bibles. All the Word of God is good. Amen? Now, we'll be opening our Bibles to something in particular in just a few minutes. Since I've been here, it's been a pleasure to be in Oregon again. I was here 2 years ago, and it's great to be back. And it's great to be at Pastor Ken's and your church for the first time. And it'll be great to be back in Springfield at New Life Church next week, most of next week, so with Pastor Todd Wagner. I love Oregon, really love Oregon. Am I okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, all right. I thought you were putting a timer there for me. It's going to beep, beep, beep. Praise God. We've talked about the fact that this ministry that God called me into 4 years ago, although I was a pastor for the previous 16 years, God called me out 4 years ago to just really focus on being a traveling ministry and a ministry of grace which focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ. And the whole theme, of course, of my ministry and of what I preach and teach is grace through the cross of Christ. On Sunday, this past Sunday, we talked about grace that saves. We talked about grace that forgives. Because if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Last night, we talked about grace to be courageous. How many of you realize we live in very dangerous times? If you've been around on this earth for long enough, you realize things have gone nuts in our lifetime. But Jesus is coming soon. And He wants us to be courageous, be strong. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Amen? And tonight, I want to talk about, and this is the name of my ministry, your place of grace, Calvary. Our place of grace. You know, our country, God bless the United States. We've been a force for good for over 200 years. But our nation is in trouble. Oregon is in trouble. I flew here from West Virginia, from Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania and West Virginia are in trouble. There's trouble all across the land. There's a lot of darkness. But nevertheless, the Bible says that the spirit of man, the spirit of every man, the spirit of every woman, is the candle of the Lord. So no matter how dark things get, wherever you go, your light, the light of Jesus in you, cuts through the darkness. No matter how rotten your workplace may be, no matter how difficult things may be in your own family, your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's not just a children's song, that's Bible. Those are Jesus' words to us. You know, Jesus told you and me, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Take your light with you wherever you go, everywhere you go. Our country is in trouble. The world at large is in trouble. Just like the Bible says, creation right now is groaning for the return of Jesus. Creation itself. And we are in great need of a spiritual awakening. We had a great awakening many, many years ago. We're going to have a greater awakening before Jesus comes back. We are going to see a harvest of souls such as the human race has never seen just before the return of our Lord. We are seeing firsthand how far human beings have wandered away from God. We see it in our own families. A number of us even lived that way at one time. We lived in darkness until we saw His wonderful light, which saved us and set us free. I do a lot of traveling, meet a good number of people. And all that I've seen and heard thus far in these 4 years of traveling, there's only one message alone, that can change people's lives and hearts. And you know what? You carry it. You are a living epistle. Every one of us here are a living epistle wherever we go. What do people see when they see you? What do people say when they see you coming? Think about that. We are to show Jesus' love everywhere we tread. Every step we take, wherever we go, we are to show His love and let that light shine. And I love to tell people, even one-on-one, in coffee shops, in little cafes, lots of coffee in Oregon, I know. And when I was in Springfield a couple years ago, and even in West Virginia, at a Starbucks in West Virginia, I love to talk with students or some of their old hippie professors, unbelievers, about Jesus and about His love. And for the most part, they're very receptive when you bring it in the right spirit. Amen? When you bring this word in the right spirit, in the spirit of love, most people will be receptive to you, to the message. And I love to tell people about the meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. Not the cross that hangs on the wall in your home or mine. Not that cross. Not about the cross that rock stars like Madonna wear around their neck, which is nothing but a piece of gaudy jewelry with no meaning. I'm not talking about that cross. But the real cross of Christ. It is scarred. It is blood-stained. Jesus' cross was an old, rugged cross, like we sing. And the fact is, and let's just be frank here, many people react to this message. Most people react to this message one way or another. But it is the truth nonetheless. The fact that Jesus bore our sins on that cross is a fact, whether the world wants to receive it or not. And I want to leave that truth here tonight. Now you may be thinking, well, Tony, you know, we're all believers here. We're all part of this church family. We don't know what goes on in the heart of the person next to us or in front of us or in back of us. As I said on Sunday morning, there was one particular Sunday when I was preaching a message on the cross in the church I pastored in Morgantown. No visitors were there that Sunday, and the Lord laid upon my heart, the Holy Spirit said, give an altar call. Invite people to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And I thought, oh, this is church family. Is this just me? Am I just thinking this? Or God, are you really trying to get something through to me? And these words kept coming. Give an altar call. Give an invitation. Okay, Lord. And I gave the invitation. And I bowed my head and I prayed in tongues profusely as I waited in the quiet. And I heard footsteps come down the aisle. And it was a gentleman, a good guy, really good guy, who was a commercial pilot. He and his wife and children had been part of our church for 5 years. I just assumed. See, don't assume anything. I assumed they were born again believers and that he was. He came forward with tears streaming down his face. And I looked, and I'm telling you, I was shocked. I went over and I said, Pat, I was going to say, is that really you? But he came forward with tears and trembling. And he said, Tony, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. He was involved in the church. Anything that needed to be done, he jumped to it. I'll do it. And only on this Sunday, 5 years later, did he make Jesus Christ his personal Lord and Savior. So I assume nothing anymore. There are board members in churches across this nation and around the world, board members, elders, who don't know Jesus personally. So I assume nothing anymore. And I do give altar calls. Jesus loves us all so much. He loves you and he's willing to forgive you and me of all of our sins and stains and filth and iniquity. He's willing. He went to that cross because he was willing. See, the cross of Calvary is it's offensive to the world. It's even offensive to some churches. Some churches won't have a cross. They won't show one. They definitely don't preach it because they don't want to offend anyone's sensibilities. They want a pet. They want to sing, "Everybody's beautiful." Sorry, that ain't the case. We all have warts and blemishes on our souls. We all have scars and dirt marks and mud and crud. Until we come to the cross. Everywhere I go, when I look out across any group of people that come together to worship the Lord, to study the Word, to hear the Word, we're all from different backgrounds. We all have different and various needs. We're all different as snowflakes, as each snowflake is different. We're all different, and yet we have the same spiritual needs. You and I need to realize that we are the objects of God's amazing love, mercy, and grace. You are God's favorite daughter. Number one. You are God's favorite daughter, number one. You are God's number one daughter. You're so precious to Him. You are God's favorite son. It's amazing. He is amazing. We need to realize, we need to get a new revelation of how much He loves us. He loved us so much to the point that He gave His Son, His only Son, to die upon an old rugged cross. And that cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals of that day. Torture. Pure, sadistic, slow torture. They invented it. Jesus endured all of that as a criminal would. Jesus endured all of that in your place and mine because of our sins. We deserved the cross. We deserved hell. We deserve judgment. And we deserve all that judgment means. There are many people out in our world, and even in some churches, that will dispute that. See, people don't want to hear that they're sinners. No. To many people, that's offensive. You offend them when you tell them you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And I tell people lovingly, I said, look, either you're absolutely perfect or you absolutely need a Savior. One or the other. The cross is offensive. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts all of the evil and the nastiness and the sin which dominates so much of our world today. The Bible teaches that all of us are wrong. All of us have missed it. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, true. All of us have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. And when we turn to our own way, we go astray. far away from God. And that includes the entire human race. And that's why this world is in such terrible trouble right now. It's not dangerous so much because we have all these nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. No, it's dangerous because we have human beings and darkened human hearts at the switches of those weapons. Hearts that are filled with envy and hatred, greed, power, strife, lust, and all the other things that can pull the trigger. I remember serving the devil for years, living in rebellion, running from God, turning my back on my mom, on my mom back in Ohio, and turning my back on God in heaven, and running from a calling that I knew I had from the age of 4. I remember running for many years. And I remember being confronted on various occasions by some very loving Christian people and some unloving Christian people. One particular day, I remember getting out of my car to go somewhere, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm downtown somewhere, and I shut the door, and I start taking off, and some guy steps right in front of me, and he says, "You're going to hell," and he hands me a tract. "Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell." I wanted to send him to the sidewalk in a hurry. I don't know about hell, but you're going down if you don't get out of my way. I was full of darkness. I was violent. I was angry. Full of sin. And yet there were people who were patient with me, who were loving with me, and who approached me in a spirit of love. And again, my mom never gave up on her son. She prayed for 23 years. And she kept asking the Lord Jesus, "Cover him, Lord, with your precious blood. Out in California, cover him with your precious blood. Protect him, forgive him, draw him near to you." That's really all she knew to pray at that time. She agonized over those prayers. It took 23 years, but her prayers are powerful. And moms, your prayers are powerful. Dads, your prayers are powerful. Again, like I said Sunday, don't give up on your lost loved ones. They're temporarily lost. Bring them in. Bring them in with your faith through the power of believing prayer. And love them into the kingdom. Don't argue them. You ain't going to win nobody arguing with them. Love them into the kingdom. It was Jesus' love on that cross that drew us to Him, that draws us to Him. But the cross, there's no getting around it though, the cross is offensive. It's offensive because the cross doesn't suggest, but it demands a new way of life. The cross demands a new lifestyle on your and my part. Because all of us sin. And sin is a terrible cancer in the human heart that affects the mind, the will, and the emotions of us all. Every part of our being is affected by this sickness, this cancer of sin. So how do we break that bondage? How do we break the chains of sin in our life? How can we be set free? How? Listen, God helps us break those chains. The Bible says this, "If any man be in Christ," 2 Corinthians 5:17, "if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. All that old stuff has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God." Think back when you were first born again. Think back when you were first born again. You wanted to tell the world. And in your zeal, you told everybody. And yeah, you made some mistakes. You were kind of silly sometimes. But somewhere along the line, many of us have left our first love. Where's that zeal now? Where's that passion now? To share Jesus with someone who's trapped in darkness. Where's our zeal? Where's our passion? Where's our first love? It's time to get that back, isn't it? Especially now. Jesus can make you and everyone who comes to Him a totally new person. On that cross, God laid upon Jesus your sins and mine. Think about all the junk that you've done. I know we don't even have enough time to write a list. I wouldn't want to anyway. But you and I have done so much in our past. Guess what? You come to Jesus, you still might slip up now and then. Amen? Yeah. And yet He's quick to forgive. Jesus bore our sins. They not only put spikes, Roman crucifixion spikes in His hands, which weighed like 3 or 4 pounds a piece. They not only put spikes in His hands, but before that, they scourged Him. How many have seen The Passion of the Christ, the movie? Even that movie, as big as that got, Mel Gibson even said, I could not put all that I wanted or all that the Bible had in that movie because it would have been too much. As if it weren't already. The Word of God says that Jesus did not even resemble a human being. He was so tortured, so beaten, so bloody, so disfigured. And the Romans scourged Him before this crucifixion. And the Roman scourge was a horrible thing. They took those whips that had lead pellets on the end of the strands of leather. Either lead pellets or even, some people put broken glass into it. Or bits of metal. Whatever. And it is horrible. But those Roman guards were sadistic. The soldiers would get almost a running start. And skin, flesh would be ripped out to the point where the inner organs would be exposed eventually after a scourging. And with those pellets on those whips, they would beat a person almost to death. And then they took the cross and made Jesus carry that cross, which in His weakened condition was almost impossible. But He carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem, and then they put those spikes in His hands. He had a crown of thorns pressed against His head. These aren't little rosebush thorns. These are thorns that are about that long in the Middle East. And they beat it with a reed upon His head. He carried that cross. They put the spikes in His hands. But that, you know what? That is horrible as that was not the real suffering. The real suffering was when Jesus said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? In that terrible moment, He and God the Father were separated. God the Father turned His back, as it were, on His Son. His blood flowed, and the shedding of that blood carries with it God's very life. The blood is the meeting place between God and us. The cross is the... Imagine the Grand Canyon. Imagine the Grand Canyon over here, and you and me standing over here. No matter what kind of running start you or I are going to get, we're not going to jump over the Grand Canyon to the other side. We ain't going to get to God through our works, through our good deeds, without the cross. The cross is the bridge between that gulf that separates God and us. The cross is the bridge. We come by means of the cross and the cross alone. And that's what the world needs to know. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that's what Christ was doing on the cross. He was making atonement for our sins. Now, the cross and Jesus' resurrection offers forgiveness of sin. It offers a whole new life to everybody who will just believe. Just simply believe. And it offers you and me and everyone eternal life. That is, if you come to the cross by repentance and faith. Please open your Bibles with me now to Isaiah chapter 53. A very familiar chapter to all of us, I would think. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1. Hallelujah, Lord. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, dear ones, we've got to get this message out. Time's running short. The prophetic clock is ticking down. We've got to get this message out. We've got to bring our loved ones in. We've got to bring our co-workers in. Our friends, our neighbors, we've got to bring them in. There is no other salvation, no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. None. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. And you'll hear the world say, you Christians are so narrow. That's narrow. I'll say, yeah, it's as narrow as that center beam of the cross, because that's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm clinging to. Cling to that old rugged cross. Jesus came into this world for the purpose of dying on the cross. That was his sole purpose, to die on the cross and pay for your punishment and mine. He paid our admission ticket to heaven. Why Jesus? He's the only one born into this world without sin. But even more than that, he was the righteous one. And when you come to him, you are clothed in his righteousness. You're clothed in his righteousness. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Amen? Why are Christians so prone, I'm not saying all, but a good number, so prone to be so comfortable to sit in church Sunday after a poor old Sunday looking like they swallowed a curtain rod? I've had people ask me before I came to Christ, why don't you want to be a Christian? I said, because I don't want to be like you. And sinners think that way. Do they see Jesus when they see you coming? I hope so too. I hope they see Jesus when they see us. We need to walk in His love and be happy. Be joyful. No matter what's going on around us, be joyful. And like Peter said, and when people see how different you are, I'm just going to say that, they're going to say, what's up with you? Why aren't you upset with everybody else in the office? Why you got that goofy grin on your face all the time? Why are you so happy? The door is open for you to share the good news. When they ask that question, the door's open. They notice you're different. And they'll know we are Christians by our frowns, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Again, I did this Sunday. This dirty, nasty old card. Lots of dirt and crud and mud that I soaked it with and all blackened. And this represents my life, B.C. This represents your life, B.C., before Christ. There's a lot of dirt, a lot of sinful junk and filth. There's a lot of hurt that I've doled out to others and that you've doled out to others. There's a lot of hurt that has been doled out to us. A lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of unforgiveness. But 120 times in the New Testament, the words in Christ are used. In Christ. In Jesus. In Him. And when I got saved and when you got saved, our cruddy, filthy being, our cruddy, filthy soul is now new. We are in, let's say this is Jesus, we are in Him. And when the world looks at us now, when anyone looks at us now, because we're in Him, they should see Jesus. And not that old man that we used to be. He's dead and gone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Loved ones, I've had people say this, and I've even felt it sometimes too. I've had people say, Tony, I don't understand everything about it. I don't know, and I don't understand everything enough about it to tell other people. I don't either. Neither does Pastor Ken. There are many things about the cross and about salvation I don't understand. And I'm not told I have to understand it all on an intellectual level. I don't. I'm told that I'm just to only believe. Yeah? Only believe. Yeah. We're told just simply believe. Receive by faith this precious gift of salvation. Eternal life through Jesus. And anybody can believe. I mean anybody. Muslim murderers who decapitate people, they can believe. Did you realize that I've even heard through in Pentecostal circles, in the Assemblies of God, many stories of Muslims who have converted to Jesus Christ and made Him their Lord and Savior because they have had an encounter with Him. maybe late at night in their home, or a Bedouin in his tent. More and more Muslims are claiming, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. More and more. And they're taking their lives into their own hands by coming out of the Muslim closet and into God's wonderful light. There's going to be a great revival. There will be before Jesus comes. All we need to do is believe. And believe means to commit my life totally to Him. Jesus Christ says from the cross, I will save you. I will forgive you. I will change you. I will make you a brand new being, a new person, if you'll come to the cross by repentance and faith. Come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. What is repentance? Simply, repentance means to turn around, change directions. To change your way of living, to turn from your sins toward Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness, and I know You're the only one that can change me from the inside out. The Bible says that in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, He became guilty. He became guilty of slander. He became guilty of jealousy. He became guilty of the most filthy and dirty of sins, because Christ took the hell that you and I deserve. And now God says, receive Him. Believe in My Son. Put your trust and confidence in Him. And I will forgive your sins, and I will guarantee eternity in heaven. And it's all yours. It's all free. All you have to do is receive it. Believe in your heart and receive. Now I want my Bible back. Praise God. The Lord won't do that, thank God. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Amen? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. So we should neither. But that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. Tonight I'm asking you to renew. To recommit and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Afresh and anew again. And I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me tonight. You may have prayed it 50, 60 years ago to receive Him as Lord and Savior. This is a good prayer to pray every once in a while, though. Please stand and let's pray together. The Lord's leading me to do something here. I didn't really plan this. Please pick up your Bible with me really quick before we close. Look at Exodus chapter 15. This was not planned, but I need to follow. I need to do this. Exodus chapter 15, please. This might be for only one person tonight, but it's because God wants you whole, wants you well, wants you healed. Exodus 15, we're going to just go down to verse 22. Pay very close attention to what we're reading. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were, get this, bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, well, what shall we drink? And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed Moses a tree. Loved ones, a tree is a type of the cross. God showed Moses one specific tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. You and I need to put the cross into every difficulty, into every problem of life, because the cross alone holds the answers to your situation. The cross alone. The cross is the only means by which the bitter waters in your soul can be made sweet. It's the cross alone. Put the cross into your bitter heart, your bitterness, your bitter memories of the past. Maybe a hurt you haven't been able to get over. Put the cross into those bitter waters and they will be made sweet again. And there Moses, and there he made for them, God made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there proved them and said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Dear one, whoever I'm talking to tonight, it may be one lady, one gentleman, it may be two people, three, I don't know. The finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, that finished work brings healing and wholeness to the whole man, to the whole woman, spirit, soul, and body. It's not for just the sweet by and by. Yes, the cross is for the rotten here and now. By faith, loved one, put the cross into those bitter waters that may be in your soul tonight, for whatever reason. And those waters will be made sweet. And that way the Holy Spirit, those rivers of living water, will once again begin to flow and overflow from your innermost being. I don't know who that's for, if anyone. Maybe it's for me, but it's for somebody tonight. Let's pray this prayer together, please, with all of our heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I sin. At times I'm very weak. And I ask you for forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sin. I repent of my sin. And I invite you once again, afresh and anew, to fill me with your Spirit. To fill me with your life once again. To fill me with your love. And I will trust you and follow you all the days of my life. Make me your disciple. Make me the light of the world in a dark and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song as we close. And then I want to make time to pray for anyone who needs prayer.
So what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
There's a verse right after that that's really cool that I've always loved, and it always made me cry, especially when I first was born again. I'm trying to remember the exact words, the second verse.
My pardon, this I see.
No, isn't it? Well, that one's a good one, too.
I got like six verses.
Okay.
Nothing can for sin atone.
That's it. That's the one.
Nothing can for sin atone.
See, I need to be revived too. Amen.
Not of good that I have done is the second half.
Yes.
Do you want to sing that?
Yes. Go ahead. Lead us.
Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not for good.
Not for good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Loved ones, nothing rankles Satan more than when we exalt the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing enrages the enemy more than that. And when you're going through the roughest and toughest of times and trials and tribulations, that's the time to bring out the big guns. Plead the blood of Jesus over those loved ones. Plead the blood of Jesus over your wife, over your husband, over your marriage. Plead the blood of Jesus. Hold up that bloodstained banner of the cross before the enemy. He must flee. He must flee. We are victorious. Not the world, the flesh, and the devil. Greater is He that's in you and me than he that's in the world. Pastor Ken.